service through the mind. But again, having been given the topic, it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to keep it in the back of my consciousness. Certainly it's not been in the foreground of my consciousness, because the Madhuban timetable is a very, very fast machine. And so every moment has been full, without the first moment to sit quietly as during the music now. But even though there isn't time to sit, but whatever topic it is you're interested in, whatever subject it is that's occupying your interest is there within your awareness. And so in fact it's also a very lovely experiment in which you can see how it's not a question of physical time, and the song was very much connected with that. But you know, sometimes people say we don't have time for service, or we don't have time for the self. Different things we say we don't have time for. But yet the reality is that whatever captures my attention, it's there within the consciousness. Whether you want it or you don't want it, it's actually there. And so physical time is absolutely an illusion on that level. I don't need to make time to love Baba. I don't need to make time for service. I don't need to make time for dharana. I don't need to make time for churning. All that is part of whatever it is I'm doing anyway. And so the days when we're busy, and it's very good to be busy. Somebody else told Daddy, and I say somebody else in the sense that it's a story that often comes up, but just today it came up in a conversation with Daddy, somebody saying that they were a little bit bothered about the queues in Madhuban, you know, lots of people, lots of things. I won't go into the details, I don't want to immerse them in my mind or your mind, but you know the story. And they decided that, okay, let me go do some karma yoga. And they went and helped out in the kitchen department, and it made them so light, so happy, so easy. So very important lesson. So karma yoga, or actually doing something with my hands, will help my mind. But on the other side, whatever it is I'm doing with my hands, I can keep my mind engaged in all the things that I love and that I'm interested in also. And firstly, because it's very much a question of personal experimentation, I don't think it's any more a subject that we just need to understand in theory. Because Baba's been talking about service through the mind for many years now, and it's come up very strongly the last few days, of course. But it's a topic we've been hearing about. And I think now we're actually interested in the experiment of that particular topic. And so I first want to find out if, A, anyone has actually experimented with service through the mind. A good few, which is what I would have expected. Second, connected with that, who has actually been able to see results of service through the mind? Not as many as before. But in fact, but I'm sure that if you actually look at the time that you've given focused energy and attention to the subject, and then sometimes, of course, it's totally incognito, which is fine. We don't need to see the proof. But sometimes when it's been specific situations, then we are actually able to see the proof that this is a result of service through the mind. And that's also very rewarding, of course. It's very satisfying knowing it. The other is incognito and it's unlimited. But where you do see results, that's also very, very beautiful. And I'm thinking about three specific areas in terms of service through the mind. And firstly, it's service of myself through the mind. I want to come back to that. Secondly, it's service in terms of my interaction with others through the mind. And thirdly, it's places. It's not so much people there, but it's places. And I want to give you specific examples of all these things in terms of my own experimentation, and that'll trigger your own memory of times that you've done the same, but maybe you haven't identified it as service of the mind, but you'll see that that's how it is, and then that'll maybe be an encouragement to use it even more. So in terms of the easiest one to begin with, places. To talk about the self is always the most subtle and the most introvert aspect, so I'll keep that till the end. But the first aspect, and service through the mind of places, it was triggered at one point when, many years ago, I'd started to travel for service, and it was in Om Shanti Bhavan Hall, and Baba was sitting with just a small group of us. So it wasn't just through the Murali, but it was a very specific instruction. And Baba said, before you go anywhere to do service, send out vibrations to that place. And those vibrations will prepare the ground. And it'll be as if the field has already been plowed. And so when you actually go there and plant the seeds, then the results will come out very easily. And I've seen it happen both in terms of long-term preparation as well as short-term preparation. Long-term, you know that you're going to go away on special service somewhere, or there's a special service coming up, not even go away, but maybe there's a special service situation coming up in your own place. And we sometimes have special yoga buddies for a specific program. Here in Madhuban, for example, whenever there's a major conference, then at that time, there's always at least one day that's reserved for specially sending out yoga vibrations as preparation for that major event. And I'm sure that this is a practice that all of you have also. Before a special event, before one of the dadis visits the country, I get information that people are having 6 months yoga bhatis, a month yoga bhatis, however long it is yoga bhatis, to prepare the place so that then when that particular soul comes, everything will happen very fast, and that's a very effective way. So whether you're going away or whether there's a special service project that's going to happen, to spread the yoga vibrations and prepare the ground, prepare the field. A few days ago, we were suddenly asked to have a full day's yoga bhati. Do you remember that? Here in Madhuban just a few days ago. And we'd already planned something else, but I got a phone call from Pandav Bhavan to say that Dadi Kumarka is requesting that we have a special yoga bhati. And of course, we just instantly adjusted the program to take that in. But afterwards, I discovered that there was going to be a very serious meeting happening in Jodhpur. So you don't even have to know the details of what the yoga is for. Just keep the fire burning. And the fire vibrations are going to reach out and cook whatever needs to be cooked. So that's what it was meant for. And it wasn't a one-off story, it's an ongoing story which is quite long. But I know that the yoga vibrations generated here would have been helpful there and would have helped. So The people's story is a bit more complex. The place's story is very easy. And I think the other aspect of the place's story is when sitting on a plane, when you're traveling across the countries, coming to Madhuban or going somewhere else, and a few moments, and maybe it's a place where there hasn't been much service done, there hasn't been that sort of opportunity, and just send out those vibrations to that particular country. I was in transit in Cuba in November, and I mean just the vibrations and the place, the airport itself, you could feel the tension in that country. And I thought, these souls really need Baba. They need real help. But that's one example. And it was I think I was at the airport for about an hour and a half, and even that felt infinite time, endless time. And I'm glad my plane wasn't delayed anymore. But you can see how places, and yes, it's easy to do that service with Baba's vibrations. The best time to do this service, again, easy for you to understand that, Amrit Vela, a time when you're not caught up with anything else, and you don't even need to remember a specific place, but be with Baba, and then like the example of the sun. The sun's able to send out its light, and that light reaches wherever there's a need and wherever there's a receptivity for it. And so to do that. And the easiest place to do that service, again, no prizes for your answer, Madhuban. Being in Madhuban, it's a wonderful preparation and training to be able to do this sort of service. You're away from all your other stuff and karmic accounts and things and situations. And so practice it here, especially Amrit Vela, and you can be like the sun sending out those vibes. I was also thinking that in bhakti, they have a lot of feeling of sanctity and sacredness attached to mountains. There's always holy mountains. And on a physical level, it's actually true. I don't know how often you've sat on different peaks around here, and there's a peak very near Pandavbhavan. Haven't been out for any walks here, but Pandavbhavan, and if you go along that road where there's the cottage, the government cottages, there's a, it's just literally a 10-minute walk, and you sit there, stand there, and you're able to see the whole plain of Pakistan spread down below. And so even on a physical level, be somewhere up above and send out those vibrations, and it's a very easy, natural, beautiful experience, a great experiment. But of course, how long are we here in Madhuban? How often can we do that physically? But having had that experience, that memory stays with you. And so, anytime, be up above and send out those vibrations of light. I know a person who specifically sends out vibrations of Baba's light and peace to the Middle East. And so, again, a place that's very much in need. Different souls with different focuses, but, of course, the globe. With Baba up here and sending out light to the whole globe. I love that image that we used for the million minutes of peace, the globe in your hands. I'm sure some of you remember that image. It's a beautiful one, and it's one that is very easy to create in your consciousness and in your mind, and actually use it as an experiment for that. So that's the sweet, easy, very natural bit. Then the service through the mind for people. Again, a number of different situations. And I know some people send out special yoga vibrations to Prince Charles, the soul of Princess Diana, wherever it may be now, the Pope, you know, Mother Teresa, different people, different connections. And I've never actually done that. I've never ever created a human image in my mind and sent out vibrations to that particular soul. And when people say, but isn't that useful? I'm sure it is, but it's not actually what I've done myself. And the reason why I haven't done that is because whenever I've had conversations with Adi, it's always been that, but why should you remember a specific soul? Just be with Baba and let those vibrations reach out. And so, and definitely I'm sure there's no attachment involved in the sorts of names that I've mentioned. But of course people also come back saying, can't I send special yoga vibrations to my husband, my wife, my partner, my son, my daughter, you know? And definitely that's not the thing to do. Because no matter how much you say, it's really for their benefit. It's only out of good wishes for them. I'm sure that the subtle connections and the threads of attachment are so difficult to see that you don't even realize it. And there's a very royal form put on it. And you don't know that that's what's going on. And so whether it's people I know or people I don't know, not really something that needs to happen. Because if you're with Baba and you're focused on sending out good wishes in all your interaction, then they're going to come to Baba, they're going to take from Baba whatever is their destiny, their fortune. And then really it's not your attachments that are involved in that picture. But the times that I have remembered specific individuals, and I have used this technique. I'll tell you the first time I used it, and it was incredibly helpful. And since then, I've used it regularly. I knew that there was going to be quite a difficult situation coming up. I was traveling with Dadi Janki, and we were in a different country, and there was quite a tangled, complex situation that we had to deal with. And it just really depended on those people having a different perspective and a different understanding. And if they did that, it was very easy to resolve it. And of course, it can be very easy. But having a new perspective and a new understanding, now that could be the task of a lifetime. You try and make somebody have a different perspective and, you know, they're stuck here and you want them to budge around and look at things from there and they're not willing to. And you try and shake them and you fall down and they don't move. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking emotionally, mentally. And so sometimes not so easy. And, of course, the danger within this situation was that both of these individuals could have actually become very aggressive and very bitter. And it would have come back on the Yagya, on Dadi, myself, and it would just have become much, much worse. So the cowardly way would have been to say, well, you know, the vehicle's going along, service is moving along, and we can just ignore this and not deal with it and just say, okay, well, let's pretend it's everything's fine. But we knew that it was a very deep thing and you could cover it up for a short while, but the wounds would again erupt and all the stuff that is down below would come up. There's a very clear medical example that all of you know of in a physical way. You know, have you ever had a wound that's got gunge inside? And if you just keep putting plaster on it, what happens? It just gets worse and worse. But to actually clean it out, you have to first clean out deep inside, get all the rubbish, all the poison, the toxins out. And then the healing can start happening. The healing doesn't start on the surface, the healing starts deep inside, and only when it's being cleaned out can the process of healing happen. And of course it takes time, it takes patience, it takes understanding, and it takes the right touch. It requires all of these factors. But if you're willing to give it all of this, then yes, go through the process of cleaning, and then the healing will also happen. And of course, what's going to happen at the end of it all is that there's going to be strength, there's going to be health, and that's long term then. Same thing. Here's a situation in which, because of sanskaras and karmic accounts and words that have been spoken and interaction that's been not so pleasant, all the stuff is there. And superficially, okay, we're carrying on with service, but it needs to be cleaned out. And I don't know that I would have dared approach the situation on my own, but I was with a Shiv Shakti, so it was okay. And Daddy and I decided that we had to deal with this now. We fixed a time when we could meet first those two individuals, and then it had to extend out further to a group of six individuals, and then it had to then be explained to the class. You know the stories. And that morning, quite automatically, not during Amrit Vela itself, but at the end of Amrit Vela, I found myself just thinking about that particular scene of meeting those individuals. But it was no anxiety or fear at that point. I'd had a very sweet experience of being with Baba, and then it was like, it was almost as if Baba brought those individuals in front of my consciousness. And keeping them in Baba's light, in Baba's love, it was really as if those vibrations were being sent to those souls. And when the time came, it was surprisingly sweet, very, very simple. All it needed was a gentle touch, and Daddy was able to explain a few factors, and it was easy for both sides to accept the story, and things changed dramatically from that moment on. Then, it wasn't always, this is a few years ago, and it hasn't always been a continuing sweet experience. There have been ups and downs, but the turning point came through that. And I knew that, of course, it was Daddy's wisdom and Daddy's yoga power, etc., etc., all of that. But I also knew that there was a special contribution that had been made through Baba's vibrations and sending them that light that morning after Amrit Vela. And so, in order to resolve, firstly, I'm talking about the conflicts that others have with each other. Our contribution can be one of Baba's light and sending out very sweet good wishes. It requires a state of detachment in that there isn't any partiality on our side. Not that I'm favoring one or I'm favoring another, but I'm able to have love and regard for both sides, or whether it's three or five or six, but I'm able to be very detached and have love for all of them equally and appreciate the value of each one equally, see their specialities, and really, I'm doing this as Baba's instrument to help those souls and also to help in Baba's task. And so service through the mind in very specific situations helps enormously in this way. Another situation, and it's a little bit similar, but different in the sense that I know that I have a challenge with a particular individual. And every time it's with this individual that, dare I say it, obstacles come up or problems arise, or there's a record in which there's been misunderstandings or all of those things, any of those things. And again, I know that there's going to be specific interaction with that particular soul or those souls. Again, special time after Amrit Vela, and I'm holding those souls in that light, in Baba's love. And again, if I've been consciously aware of this, it's like things have been prepared and things work out in a much, much sweeter way than they would have otherwise. And usually you do know what sorts of things are going to come up during the day. And sometimes when you don't know and things have happened unexpectedly, it's actually because I haven't given enough time just to think it out and just anticipate what the possibilities are. And I'm not talking about negative thinking and a state of depression in which there's a feeling of hopelessness and where you think, oh, you know, this is going to be awful, it's going to be horrible and that sort of stuff. I'm thinking about where, yes, the mind is very positive, where there is that sense that, yes, Baba's with me, I'm doing the best that I can, but quite apart from this also, it just needs a process of clear thinking and anticipating what the possible scenarios could be. You don't even have to spend a long time, but you're able to be aware of the sorts of different feelings that can come up. And you're not even sort of hoping that this will be the decision or this will be the outcome, but you're just simply sending Baba's light and good vibrations, knowing that whatever has to happen within the drama is going to be fine. And maybe part of that whole process is that you've prepared yourself for whatever it is that may happen. And then it's not a surprise, it's not a shock, but you've given yourself the capacity to be able to absorb it and deal with it and hold it, whatever way it may turn out to be. And so again, it's very much a question of preparation through taking power from Baba and yoga, through that awareness with Baba. And so dealing with people in different ways, when you know that there's a particularly challenging service situation that's going to come up, or even actually when you've been in a service situation many, many times and it's become quite easy, it's become quite natural. I've been caught out with this also, where I get into the thought that, oh, you know, I've done this many times, it's easy. And I don't give it any conscious attention. There's something that you trip up with. Carelessness, yes. Laziness, yes. And maybe a simple program. And maybe nothing actually goes wrong. But you yourself know that a lot more could have happened, but it didn't have that input of yoga power. And so, whatever service it is you're involved with, challenging, yes, you definitely need to send out yoga vibrations and prepare yourself. But even simple things, or what normally you would consider are quite simple things. Have you been in a situation where sometimes things are going quite fine, they're ticking along quite well, and it's simple things that are happening, but yet suddenly there's an unexpected ingredient that comes in, usually because somebody else is feeling discontent or irritable or whatever, whatever. And so the whole thing gets thrown out because of that spanner. And I'm very aware that one can avoid those situations through the power of yoga and service through the mind and sending out good vibrations on all levels in that way. So service, people, these are some of the things that I've experimented, all of you have experimented with, I'm sure. For the self, now, that is something that has to be ongoing. And you're using yoga power. And so I'm translating service through the mind as yoga power now. And I'm seeing how there's times when you move along without actually spending time deeply looking at yourself. And you can only do that for a short space of time. You can't ignore yourself in Sangam Yoga. And sometimes why it is that people say, you know, I never had to deal with these things before. It's only now that all these things are coming up and there's a sense of hopelessness that may come up. And it's actually because it's only now that I'm wanting to settle all my sanskaras, sort it all out, settle all my karma. So I never ever put myself in that position before. It's only now that I'm actually attempting it and understanding what it is I need to do. And it's not possible just to lead life on a superficial level in Sangam Yoga. There'll be a situation that comes up that you actually then have to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to really allow myself to get swept off my path? Or am I going to come back to the value and importance of Sangam Yoga and my own spirituality and what my life is all about? And at that moment, when I have that choice again in front of me, it's probably been a situation that's quite severe. Maybe it's health, maybe it's a conflict that's erupted with somebody, maybe it's a failure in a service project, maybe it's a karmic account that's come up. Any of these things can come up and you have to confront yourself. And at that moment, I need to first of all really be with Baba and remind myself of God's trust in me. And one of the things that's happened through the whole process of the ceremonies for the 10 plus years, I'm sure has been this. I'm sure that it's given you that opportunity to just be aware of the faith that the Dadis have in you and the faith that Baba has in you. There's an interesting question here, and I'll come back to it in just a minute, and the question is, before I forget it, one is that when things are not quite right, then it's my carelessness and laziness, but the other is that, well, it's other people involved, and so can I always sort of take on that responsibility that it's me, and you know, that was responsible, or was it their discontent or irritation or whatever. So I'll take that up in a minute. And here at this point, what I was talking about, if I remember correctly, was the faith that the Dadis have in us and that Baba has in us. And the ceremony was just one external, visible sign of that. But of course, many undertones, and Baba also has faith in you and the Dadis also have faith in you. But within all of that, just the awareness that when I'm looking at myself with honesty and I see my own very deep sanskars come up, it's that recognition of how Baba sees me and the faith that Baba has in me that gives me the courage to be able to move on. And so service through the mind, firstly, at that moment, is just to come back to a state of my own self-esteem and value for myself. I need yoga power. And if you translate now the word yoga into realization of my own original state, because that is what yoga is. Yoga isn't just I love Baba and chanting that as a mantra, but even the connection with Baba and the joy of that connection and the experience of love in that connection is very much connected with, firstly, the mantra Om Shanti, and my own, and not just Shanti, but Om. Who am I? What am I? And so yoga isn't just coming gradually to that state of awareness of my own original stage, but yoga is the experience of my own original, natural, highest, most elevated state. And every single murali, the avyakt muralis I'm thinking about now specifically, every single avyakt murali begins with that phrase of who Baba is seeing, and it reminds you of how Baba is seeing you. This last murali, Baba spoke about the ones with the highest fortune. The murali before that, this beautiful expression in English that Baba used, Baba is seeing the happiest, the holiest, the richest. Imagine, I never thought, before I came to Baba, I would never have said I'm the richest. And anyway, if I heard somebody else say it, I would have said that's their ego. But here's God telling me that you're the richest. And of course, then you have to understand it deeply and experience it and accept it. But also, the last phrase that Baba uses within the Avyakt Muralis, now that is also absolutely how Baba is seeing you. Then Baba says, Yad Pyar Namaste to those who da 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 da, you know, there's many different things that Baba says. And then sometimes I get asked the question, well, Baba's only giving love and remembrances to those souls. But in fact, this is how Baba is seeing all of us. And then if I exclude myself from that category, now that's my choice, but Baba is seeing me with that vision. And so service through the mind, bringing my mind up to that consciousness in which I'm able to tune in to how Baba sees me and keep my consciousness on that level. Baba will tell me, but I have to remember it and accept it. And that's my task, my responsibility. And so I need to spend time in serving my own self through my mind to underline this and experience this. You can see why this is much harder work than sitting on the lookout places on Mount Abu and sending vibrations to the plains of Pakistan. That's a lovely exercise, but you know, it's this which is the real effort. And that's definitely the first step, to build up my own recognition of myself and acceptance of myself. Another step of service through the mind, and it has to be in this procedure. That's the first. The next is, with Baba, to look at what are the thorns I need to pull out. And if I haven't done that first exercise, the second exercise is painful and it's just sorrow. But that's not what Baba wants. But Baba wants the thorn to be removed, or using the other analogy from earlier, whatever is the rubbish that's accumulated, that has to be cleansed. And so I do need to do that also. And it's going to be through connection with God and taking yoga power and using the power of my mind for that. It's also connected, of course, with the question of burning away my sanskars and finishing off all my own account. And through that, settling the account of sin that Baba's talked about. I've had a different appreciation of the subject of service through the mind this year. And previously, I personally used to feel that one has to build up a stage of yoga in which I'm using yoga, firstly to conquer my senses, to at least keep my senses under control, and then I need to build up my yoga power so that I'm disciplining my mind and working on that level. Thirdly, I'm using yoga power to make sure that in interaction I'm not creating more karma, but I'm at least stabilizing myself so that things stay straight without addition of karma. Then I need yoga power to settle all my sins, and then I'm going to be at the stage where I have extra yoga. But I realize how now, a very different realization, and I realize how in Sangam Yuga, Baba always allows us to jump ahead and then come back and sort things out. And that's a very sweet and powerful and easy way of training us to get to our destination. And I'm surprised at myself that it took me so long to realize that. In the sense that if you look at the subject of service, it's the way Baba works. Baba doesn't say, settle all your bad karma and then start doing good karma. And there would be people who would take it on that level that, well, you know, how can you be a teacher and how can you teach others unless you taught yourself and come to a state of perfection first. But Baba teaches us, okay, start doing good karma, start being an instrument to serve, start sharing, and the comeback of that will be that you learn and you're able to move forward, and the power of those good wishes and blessings are going to help you settle things and you'll move on. And I think for 99% of the people sitting here, this is actually a technique that all of you have experimented with and worked with and used in your life. So we all became instruments for service and teachers, and through that we've been gradually settling our karmic accounts. And the same principle applies in terms of doing service through the mind, service through yoga. And of course, the purer my mind, the cleaner my mind, the more effective service through the mind is going to be. And those are some of the things that Baba spoke about the other night. Bringing your mind to that state of elevated thoughts, purity, power, and positivity, and using that. But I'm also seeing how, again, the Madhuban experience and the example. In Madhuban, even if it's just for a few minutes, Baba has given us the opportunity to send out those vibrations and know that they'll reach others and feel the benefit of that. And so it's a taste of how to do service through the mind. And having tasted that, a good feeling. And the soul feels, yes, this is something very sweet. This is something I want to do. And so Baba was saying, do this and do this. Use the power of the mind to serve the world, but also, yes, use the power of the mind to conquer your senses and all the other things that I mentioned earlier. Go through that whole checklist and build up your yoga power. But you don't have to wait till you come to the end of the journey to start serving through the mind. You can start experimenting with serving through the mind while you're still gradually working your way through. And that experience of serving through the mind will be the incentive and the motivation to work through everything and come to that stage. In terms of the question, but more in terms of first just the difference between carelessness and laziness and carrying the burdens of the world on your shoulders. We have a tendency to blame ourselves. It's a carry-on from bhakti. And for most of us, this has happened in many situations. And so sometimes when things aren't working out well, then again, we carry the blame, you know, it's because of me that this happened. And yet, although Baba wants us to be responsible, Baba never wants us to carry a burden, whether it's a burden of guilt or whether it's a burden for somebody else's sanskars. And it's actually quite simple. I just have to make sure that I keep my stage accurate. I am doing what Baba wants me to do, and I make sure that my consciousness is right. And what else is there that I can do beyond that? If there is a situation in which others blame me, yes, important that with honesty and humility I check and sort it out and ask whether it is true. One aspect of yoga power is that it gives me the capacity to actually listen to whatever it is that's coming to me. Without yoga power, I would maybe have reacted, I would have rejected, I wouldn't have accepted, or I would have defended myself, or all the things that happen. But with yoga power, okay, I listen, I accept, and I then check. And maybe it's been exaggerated, but maybe it's there within the soul to a certain percentage. And so again, with yoga power, having accepted then further yoga power, and I resolve to change. I was talking about the laziness and carelessness in the sense that where it's very easy for the intellect to say, oh, you know, this is easy, it's okay, I don't need to give it my attention. And so in that context, and so that's when things slip out and things don't work in the right way. And so it's always a lesson to be with any of the dadis. And the attention to detail is incredible. There were two people I needed to connect together with dadi, and dadi was going to give them something. And I squeezed it in within a few minutes before dadi was about to be leaving dadi's cottage for something or another. And they came in front of dadi, and I was going to have dadi, you know, finish it off and it's done. You know, she's got so many things to do, and I have to keep lists of, I have to make sure dadi does the study. I said, no, it's got to be done with love. And she refused to let me rush her. And of course I understand it's important, but it was beautiful that then she put a brake on it and said, I'm going to make time for this properly. And so that's the difference between laziness and carelessness and absolutely yoga. No, this needs attention and it has to be done with love. And so, again, yet again, another lesson to be learned. Or the evening that Baba came, I'm sure you're not aware of this, but the preparation for the ceremony the day before, with the, not many of you came down, but it was 1,100 people who had their ceremony. And these are the people 30 years plus in Gyan in Bharat. And you can imagine the logistics of that. And Muni had been up till 1 a.m. that morning. Then that afternoon, evening, Baba came. And again, huge preparations, because Baba commented on it that people hadn't informed until the evening before. They knew it was about 14,000 people who were going to be there. And then suddenly the numbers, people just arrived. So all that had to be considered. But Dadi Kumarka herself in the afternoon went out to check that all the preparations in the hall had been made. And I can just imagine some of us who look after service programs, you know, we delegate and we say, okay, fine, let them look after it. And that's also good. And you have to learn that. But the other side of the picture of delegation, where okay, somebody's done the work, but for the instrument to actually give that attention and time and energy and just give srishti and just make sure things are okay. Or even that the people who've been involved in that task have that opportunity of being acknowledged. So again, you know, just constant lessons to learn. And that was my point. And imagine if Daddy hadn't given it that, then maybe there was something that wasn't quite right. And of course, afterwards we understood Baba was going to go on this little walkabout. And so Daddy wanted to make sure that not just the preparations, but it was Baba that was going to be coming on this walkabout. Tell you another very interesting thing in that context. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands now. It's just a question for you to consider. I was talking about discipline with a senior teacher from India yesterday. And apparently she took class in Diamond Hall yesterday morning at the Leti. And she told the Bharatvasis, and I'll tell you her words very straight, it was an opportunity for you to experience God's presence in your midst and have that opportunity of being actually so close. And you didn't let your minds stay peaceful and stable. You got excited. And in that excitement, you actually missed out on that experience. And if you'd just stayed disciplined and peaceful and sat, you would have been able to feel God's presence amongst you. And she was talking to the Bharatvasis, but I thought that the same applied to all of us also. Okay, so all of this is part of the topic. I'm not digressing. Because the preparation of the mind, because I've talked about the different ways in which we can serve through the mind, but the topic I want to take up in this context now is the preparation of the mind to be able to use the mind as a vehicle for service through the mind. A lot of discipline. It's a horrible word. I don't like it. I react to it. But there's no getting away from it. That's what you need to do to prepare. Yes, I need to keep my mind positive. I need to make my mind pure and clean. I need to make my mind elevated. But how? And it's through old-fashioned discipline. Whether it's discipline in terms of Srimat in my life, again, not asking for a show of hands, but a question for you to look at. When I'm following Srimat accurately, precisely, what is the comeback I feel? I feel strength. I feel my mind clear. I feel my mind moving in a straight direction. I feel strength in my mind. And when there's been my desires that come in, my attachments that come in, the distractions that come in, all the different pulls that come in, and even just all of those coming, and yet still, I'm disciplined with myself in terms of words and deeds, and I follow Srimat, there's no way in which we don't know Srimat. We've been with Baba long enough, we've heard enough Sakar Muralis and Avyat Muralis to know what is Srimat. So I don't accept it if somebody tells me, but I didn't know that this was Srimat, but you didn't stop to think about it. That's your business, but Baba's explained Srimat very clearly. So I know Srimat, and no matter what the pulls and stresses are inside, but at least in words and deeds, I stick to it, there'll be some strength coming to me from Baba. But where I let my mind take me off in a different direction, the comeback of that is that the mind becomes quite unstable. The problem that arises is in yoga, which is why Baba says, it's not in Gyan. I still understand Gyan. Of course, continually break Srimat, and there's even a point where the mind no longer accepts Gyan. That's also true. But that's further down the line, much further down. And so I need to follow Srimat in action. I need to follow Srimat in terms of what's going on in my mind. Before I think, I have to think. Should I be thinking these thoughts? Should I let the mind go racing off and then say that I'm now feeling pain? And why am I not feeling Baba's love and happiness? Back, pull, reins. The horses have to be disciplined. The mind doesn't have wisdom. It's the buddhi that has wisdom. And the buddhi knows, and the buddhi has to be strong to pull the mind back. And so that's the preparation I need to make to be able to have good yoga. And then beyond that, to be able to serve through the mind. I need to have the power of Baba's help in all subjects, whether it's service, whether it's dharana, whether it's my understanding of Gyan. But also all these other subjects are there to help me. The deeper I go into Gyan and enjoy the beauty of Baba's knowledge, when we churn Murali together, when we churn Murali alone, that's what we're doing. At the end of having churned Murali, have a few minutes of silence, and it's electric, absolutely powerful. We've experienced that in the gathering, but the same happens on my own. I've let myself experience the beauty of Baba's knowledge, and then I've let the mind become still, quiet. I haven't vacated it, but I've made it full and still. That's the power of silence. And learning to enjoy silence through Gyan is very easy. It's not difficult. As I do service, and I then let my mind become quiet and feel Baba's presence with me, or before service, take a moment, invoke Baba, feel Baba's presence, and others will have a vision of Baba, whether it's Shiv Baba, whether it's Brahma Baba, whether it's your perfect form, your angelic form. It's the reality, it's true. And even if they don't have visions, they'll feel something special. To think about what you hear from the dadis, the classes they give, the lectures they give, it's not intellectual brilliance, it's not genius, but it's extremely powerful. And it's because of the power of the mind radiating across, and the words are secondary, and it's a reality. Whenever somebody is speaking, the content of what they say is only 20% effective. 80% is the presence, the personality. And that's Lokic research that will tell you that. And then in terms of Baba's work, you've experienced it yourselves. Sit in front of Baba. And why are we sitting in front of Baba? Why weren't we content to sit in front of the computers and internet and just listen to Baba? But there was something that pulled us here, and it always pulls us here. We'll always be coming to Madhuban to meet Baba. And so it's Baba's presence. But the same for all of us. Whatever is the consciousness of my mind, that's what's going to be effective in service. So in fact, it's not just through sitting in yoga that we are serving through the mind. In any interaction, again, some of you are sitting here who've had this experience. You've come to Dadi with a question, and your answer is on one level. Dadi's answer is very different. Maybe it's here, but maybe I'll just say it's different. And I've often had the question, you know, Dadi's expecting them to shift from here to here. And they shift within a minute, sometimes several minutes, sometimes several days, but they shift. Sometimes Dadi will leave it with them and say, okay, think about it and come back tomorrow and tell me. And they'll have shifted. What is she doing? She's not just giving them a verbal answer. She's sharing her good wishes. She's sharing her yoga power. Last point I want to make before, I wanted to have a few minutes for questions. So then we'll just have a few minutes left. But the reason that honesty is so important, and it's important in terms of me and myself, me and Baba, and me and the seniors, it's connected with all of these factors of using the mind for service. If I'm to take Baba's power and be a channel for that, and that's what we're doing in terms of service through the mind, it's not my power, it's Baba's power, I need a very honest, clear relationship with God so that God's light is able to travel through. Obvious, of course. But also, I need to be very honest with myself, because through that, the blocks are removed and God's light can travel through easily. And it's not going to cause depression or hopelessness, because I've felt Baba's presence, then I'm doing that. The honesty with the self then is, I've talked about this earlier. But the third aspect, honesty with the seniors. It's two ways. In the sense that if I'm honest with them, then I'm opening myself to be able to receive their good wishes. But also, my honesty with them has also melted their hearts, and they're going to give me very powerful good wishes. So anyway, I'm more open, but also on their side, they're going to be able to give me very powerful good wishes that are going to help me to strengthen my mind and bring my mind to the stage that I would like it to be at. And at that point where Baba sometimes, no matter what stage we're going through, but Baba gives us a glimpse of this, of how when the mind is pure and crystal, then the beauty of that is a great joy for the self to experience, and a great joy for others to be in company with that, of course, but for the self to experience also. So we've had a taste of that, but of course now to keep it there with us constantly. And this is why Baba always underlines this word, constant. Baba gives us a flavor, but we then have to make it constant. Okay.